I need to continue to repeat these things every time I come up, that God's grace is flowing to us. There is no problem with the grace of God. You don't need to fuss about the grace of God. You don't need to struggle for it. God is rich in mercy. He is rich in grace. He is rich in power. And we said the grace of God is the power of God. It is the strength of God. It is the wealth of God. It is everything that God has, everything he possesses, is his grace. And so God flows towards us in his grace. So the only area, the only thing that can they can make that grace not work in our lives is if we don't respond in faith. And I said those two words are so crucial to your Christian life. If you want to simplify your Christian life, two words that you can focus on. So understand, the Bible says grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. So it is through the knowledge of God that you will know the grace of God. A person who does not know God cannot understand the grace of God. Because God, you see, the knowledge of God's grace is in the knowledge of God. He is a gracious God. He is a good God. And so grace and peace will be multiplied as we get to know him. And that's the reason we come to the house of God. We study the Bible so we can gain an understanding of God, become related with God, then we will understand who he is, understand his grace. And then when we understand the grace, we are able to respond to God in faith. So we've been looking at faith, and one of the things that we began to look at last Sunday is the fact that God flows towards us and he says, yes. Everything that God has for you, they are within the promises of God. You know, we read in that 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 to 4, he says, as his divine power has given to us. Now, he says, God's divine power. What is God's divine power? That's his grace. Because grace is the power of God. So God's grace has done what? Is given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. All things, whatever. And this is so important that we know this, that God has given, not that he will give, not that he's waiting for you to beg for it. He's not waiting for you to even ask for it. He has given it because he's full of it. He's given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Now, and then he goes on to say that he talks about these great and precious promises. So great, you know, Dick Nezele just spoke about those dreams, those things that God said. They are great and precious promises. They're not promises that, you know, they're not things that are base. These are great things. Your mind has to be able to absorb these things, you know, to think big. God has given you great and precious promises. Hallelujah. He is given it. He said his divine power has given us all things, and he says he has also given us great and precious promises. Hallelujah. You know, he says so that we are able to share in God's divine nature. You know, when you look at that, is you are sharing God's nature, God's personality, God's person. And that is in line with Scripture, because it says he made man in his image and after his likeness. So we partake of God's nature. That is, you see, wherever I am a representative of God. Whatever God has, I have. God brought these promises, and he said the promise is that you will partake in his divine nature. And he says, haven't escaped the corruption that is in this world. That is everything. You see, God gave you promises, and he has made you to escape those things that are contrary to his promise. You've escaped the corruption that is in the, you see, there is the, when you look at lust, when you talk about lust, sometimes we think he's just talking about maybe immorality. He's talking about the human desires. You see, there's a lot of human desires that human beings on earth have. You see, when you have stealing and murder, and those are human desires. It says we've escaped it. That we will not be participants in it, and we will not experience it. Amen. But they are wrapped up in promises, you see. That is, everything that is caused, every kind of corruption that is caused by all the human illicit desires will not touch you. You will not participate in it, and it will not affect you. We have escaped it. When you escape something, it means the thing, you were in that thing before. But now you've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So these are, but they are promises. See, some people, when things happen to them, they say, oh, but why? But the Bible says this. How come I'm experiencing this? They are promises. The promises can only be received by what? By faith. And we looked at the children of Israel when God said, so we see in Hebrews chapter 3, I believe, verse 13, verse 19, it says that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says God brought them out to bring them in. So if God brought them out with the purpose of bringing them in, I thought I would just go in. No, God brought them out with all of his grace, but they needed faith for him to bring them in so that they would be able to enter. And that's why Apostle Patrick talked about access. Faith gives you access to enter in. And Pastor Tony Shedd said, the key to enter in. So it is that key, it is that access key that we need. That's one thing that you have to do. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. So what you need to do is to build faith. And that's what we've been doing for the last few weeks. Amen. And we looked at this scripture on Sunday. I want us to look at it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. This is so important. So God, we know in the book of James, he talks about faith. He said, the person who does not waver. So Jesus can't waver because he that is faith. Anybody who wavers does not have faith. And if you don't have faith, you can't receive of the grace of God. You can't enjoy much of the grace of God. The more you use your faith, the more you tap into the grace of God. The more. So it says here, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you. That is the person we taught you about, does not waver. Is it a yes? It doesn't go between yes and no. Okay, not either. And I preach to you, and as God's ultimate what? Ultimate yes. He always does what he says. That is, basically what he's saying here, if you look at all the translations, he's saying to you that every promise of God is what? Yes. It's always yes. So when God said, I have promised you that you will, great and precious promises, that you will have my divine nature, you'll be able to act like me. Everything that can't touch me cannot touch you. Everything I'm able to do, you'll be able to do because you are sharing God's nature. You are partakers of God's nature. Now, it says that promise, God has said yes to it. And he will always do what he says. Look at the next verse, verse 11. For all of God's promises, say all of God's promises, have been fulfilled in Christ. All of it. You can, I want you to go home. You know, if you really want to task yourself to get into this, because you've got to task yourself. Task your spirit. Task your mind when it comes to spiritual things. Don't be lazy when it comes to spiritual things. You've got to task yourself. You know, you are capable of more than you're doing right now. People don't realize it. The reason you're not doing more than you're doing is you're not tasking yourself. You need to task yourself. You need to go and engage in these things. You see, the Bible talks about exercise. It says strong meat is for those who by reason of use talks about those who just take milk. You've got to go from milk to eating strong meat. You know, the person who sees me eating meat will be thinking, ha, you're struggling, that hard thing that you're eating. But, you know, that's the real food. It's better than feeding on milk. So he says, strong meat is for those who, by reason of tasking themselves, they've tasked themselves to say, look, this word that I've heard, I'm going to engage in it until I see it come to pass in my life. Amen. I'm going to make sure this word, because the word is true. He will always do what he says. So there's a challenge with me. So I've got to continue to dance that dance of faith until my steps are in rhythm with God's dance of grace. Hallelujah. And so now look at what he says. He said, with a resounding yes. Hallelujah. He says, all of the promises of God have been fulfilled in Christ. That is, God has said what? A resounding yes to all his word. And like I said, if you say, God, you mean I will walk in, you know, like that man, will he be healthy? Yes, God has said yes. So it's not an issue with God. It's an issue with the people who believe or don't believe. Look at those guys, when they saw their friend who was paralyzed, you know what they did? They carried him. And when they got to the door, because the health of that man, they've already got a resounding yes. If we carry this man to that meeting, will he be healed? Yes. The word resounding means enormous. So it's not just yes, it's a big yes. The word resounding means an emphatic yes. That is, it's not going to change tomorrow. It's emphatic yes. Hallelujah. Your future, your career, your business, your family, your home, your children, everything that concerns you, that God has already said, all things that pertain to your life. Hallelujah. He said, he has said a resounding yes. Look at what he says. And through Christ, our what? Our amen. So God said a resounding yes. What are you supposed to say? Amen. You are not supposed to go to tell anyone, maybe. You know that word of God I've been hearing for a long time, maybe. You are not saying amen. God needs your amen to his yes. That's you. God has danced the dance of yes. You also need to dance the dance of amen. Because it takes two yeses for things to happen. Amen. You know, you have this program. Is it Britain Got Talent? They say you got four yeses. You got four yeses. Thank God we only need two yeses. And you know, with those ones, you have to depend on those judges to say yes. It's got nothing to do with you. You can say yes to yourself and still get no. Do you know that on that panel? In fact, they don't count with what you have to say. But with God, there are two yeses. He says one, you say one. And he has told you, I will always say yes. So what are you waiting for? You are the variable in this equation. The only variable in the equation. So why would you say no? Why do you say no? When you say no by not agreeing with what God has said. You say no. So God says yes, you say no. And then people say, but what, but. You know, I told you, I used to say lots of buts. And one of the first great deliverance I had in my life was to say, stop saying but to what God says. That's the first thing. Because every time, based on what I was experiencing, I would say yes or no. So if I was experiencing that thing and the word of God says different, and somebody told me, but this is what the word of God says, I would say, but. Because I'm trying to line up to make the word of God, my experience, to become the word of God. Rather than making the word of God become my experience. So look at that. It says, through Christ our amen. What does amen mean? It means yes. So every time we pray and you say amen, all you are saying, I'm saying yes to that prayer. Hallelujah. It ascends to God. So every time you say amen to God's word, it goes up to God. You didn't know that, But your amen goes to God. God says, well, now they dance. There's a harmony. And things begin to happen. Praise God. Praise God. So it is our response. And we respond to God's word through the way we speak, how we act, how we behave, and how we think. That's how you respond to God's word. It's not just what you say. What are the thoughts that you are having in your mind? You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So in your thoughts, when you sit down and you're thinking, are you thinking negative or thinking positive? When negative thoughts come, do you tell those thoughts? The Bible says we cast down every imagination. We make bring into captivity every thought. Are you bringing thoughts that are coming into your mind into captivity? Because we all experience negative thoughts that come. But I've got to put it into captivity because that thought is saying no to God's word. So I've got to make my thought say yes. So it's not just my speech, my actions and my thoughts, my character, my behavior have to say yes to God's word. Amen. You know, we read about that woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I would, you see, she thought it in herself. And then she said it out. If I can touch the hem of his garment. So now Jesus was there. He had all of the grace and the power and the anointing for the woman to be healed. Who was the only variable? The woman. And the way you will know it is this. When the woman came and touched Jesus, Jesus said, someone touched me. You know this account because the disciples said, how can you say someone touched you? How come all the other people touching him did not get anything? And Jesus did not refer to them. It was a touch of faith. Jesus was full of grace. He was dancing the dance of grace. Somebody linked up with him in a dance. The dance of faith. That's why he recognized it. All the others were not, they were, it's, the touch is not the issue. It's the faith that is the issue. So that touch was a response of her faith. She already had the faith, but she activated her faith through her touch. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So the woman was the variable. That will always be the issue. Never as a Christian question God about anything. What you question is your response to his grace. Don't question that, God, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? And we are all navigating this process on earth because we are human and we're on earth. So that's the process. That's the reason for learning about God. That's the reason for Christianity, that we are learning about him. The more of him we know and the more we're able to respond, the more of him is unfolded to us. Hallelujah. The less our questions, the less our wonderings, the less our confusion. You cannot be a person who knows God and working with God and you'll be confused. See, he's not a God of confusion. Amen. You know, clarity comes to you more and more. Not the more you learn, the more you respond. It's the use of what you hear. Amen. Amen. So, he says this. Look at 2 Thessalonians. You know, another word for resounding is to reverberate. You know the word reverberate? It's like you hear a sound comes and then it repeats itself. So God's yes to you is continually reverberating. That is, God is not just saying yes, it's reverberating. Every time when you go home, you are hearing his yes. It's coming, it's coming. So you really have to dull yourself to God's word for you not to hear God's yes. Because it's reverberating every time. You go into the shops, it's reverberating. Yes, yes. Yes, my son. Yes, my daughter. All is well. Fear not. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You will excel in life. You will do it. Don't worry about anything. It's reverberating. You know, I wish I could do a reverberation. It's reverberating. That's why David in Psalm 62 verse 11 says, he said, once God has spoken, twice have I heard. Because God spoke once, he reverberated. I heard it twice. Amen? Twice have I heard. There was a resounding of God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11. It says, with this in mind, we always pray that our God will make you worthy of his call. We also pray that through his power, he will do what? He will help you accomplish what? That through his power, what's God's power? His grace. Through God's grace that we're talking about. So it is the grace of God that enables you. Through his grace that you will have the help to accomplish every good thing you desire. Come on now. You see, we just heard about all those dreams and those desires. He didn't say when you are 10 years old, when you are 70, at whatever age you have, if you have a desire, a good desire, something good you want to accomplish, the grace of God is available for it. But look at how it works. And help you do everything your faith produces it. So the grace releases the enablement, the power to accomplish every good thing that comes to your heart in any area of life, because he has given to us all things. Now your faith has to produce it. Everything your faith produces, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Look at this in another translation, New Living Translation. I love this. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith does what? Prompts you. You see, so what he's saying is that as a Christian, you must only walk by faith. So there are many things do you do prompted by faith. You say, okay, there is this thing I want to do. This is my faith. I'm going to do it based on my faith. What is faith? That you believe what God says. So I'm going to do it based on the fact that I believe what God has said concerning me. Don't do it based on your fear. Because your fear will produce something opposite to what your faith can produce. Your concerns will produce something opposite to what your faith can produce. Your faith believes it. That God is able, so I act. Don't act first until you take in faith. Amen. Don't act out of unbelief. Act out of faith. He said, to accomplish all the good things. I love this because this is a blank check. All the good things that your faith produces. Praise God. And I'm going to show you, let's look at James chapter 2, talking about faith. And this is important because he's talking about really what he's trying to do. Take out the scripture yet. We'll come back there. I really want you to pay attention. Look at this. So we talked about faith, how you dance the dance of faith. But faith has to be activated in an action. So how do I know that you have faith? We saw those people. Jesus said when he saw their faith. So what happened is they had faith, but they had to do something, demonstrate it. So it's not just having faith, it's demonstrating it. So for instance, I have faith that no harm will touch me. You see, I have that faith. Okay, but when I'm going into a vehicle, I say, oh, I hope nothing happens as I'm going on the road. No, you don't. You are not using your faith. You are not demonstrating it. Faith doesn't, you see, I want to show you this because it says faith without what? Works. It's not talking about works as in you're trying to please God. Without a corresponding action is what? Is dead. So somebody said, but I had faith that I will live long. How come this thing happened to that person? No, there was no act. Their action was not of faith. Was of unbelief. Faith has to have what? A corresponding action for it to be faith. So before I used to think, oh, I have faith because I've taken in God's word and all that. But this, look at all the people in the wilderness. The ones who were able to come out of the wilderness, Joshua and Caleb, there was a corresponding action. When they went and saw giants, they didn't talk about the giants. It's a corresponding action. You see, those other people, I told you they had faith. Because the Bible says by faith, they went through the Red Sea. And I said it, so they had faith. Because they demonstrated their faith that when Moses said, let's walk through the Red Sea, they entered. There are many of us today, if they ask you that the Red Sea has opened, if River Thames opens, some of you say, ha, maybe it's only opening for 10 seconds. You won't go in. You would draw back and say, let them go, I'll stay on this side. I'll stay in the wilderness. The wilderness is better than for me to perish. So it took faith for them to enter. Not only to enter, to believe that when the Pharaoh army comes, they will not be able to touch them. So they had faith. But when it came, after going through challenges of the wilderness, and that's what affects people's faith, when they see challenges of life, say, then their faith, the demonstration of your faith is no longer visible, and if it's not visible, faith is dead. When it means by dead, is it becomes inactive. It becomes ineffective. The same faith that they had that was from crossing the Red Sea is now no longer effective. So they spied the land and came back and reported about the giants. Rather than coming back, he says, but the other people, they spoke. He said, let us go at once. Hallelujah. So let's go now to James 2. He said, my friends, what good is it for one of you to say that you have faith if your actions do not prove it? You hear what he just said? He said, what good is it if you say you have faith and your actions do not prove it? So I'm trying to let you know that it's not just preaching faith and talking faith, it's your actions. There has to be action. The actions are in your speech, in your thinking, in your acting, in your mannerism. Your behavior has to show it. You know, say, okay, God said, don't fight anybody. Forgive everybody. Don't fight them. Say, vengeance is mine, say the Lord. Say, yes. You forgive one person today. And then the person does something again tomorrow. They're taking the Mickey. She's taking the Mickey. Okay. God has said, I heard last week the pastor said I should forgive. Okay, I'll try. The third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, I say, aha. You have touched a nerve. You have touched something. So your behavior, your mannerism, your actions do not portray the word of God. Now you're going to fight for yourself. You know, when you fight for yourself, you never win. Only the battles that God fights for you that you win. I'm telling you. Your own fight will get you into so much trouble and stress and all sorts of things. Hallelujah. So he says, can that faith save you? Can that faith work? That's what he's saying. He says, oh, I have faith, but I don't see the action. Look at the next verse. Suppose there are brothers or sisters who need clothes and don't have enough to eat. Now, I want you to pause and look at what he's trying to say. You see, he's not just trying to talk about you being nice to people. He's going somewhere. He's just using this as an illustration. You have brothers who have needs, clothes, and don't have enough to eat. Verse 16. And what good is there in your saying to them, God bless you, keep warm and eat well? So when somebody doesn't have clothes and doesn't have food to eat, what action of faith should you do? The action is not speech. Because words, in that sense, because it's not the word of God. You say, you just go and get warm. You say, oh, faith, be warm in Jesus' name. This is what he's saying. Be warm and be fed in Jesus' name. But all your conflicts and everything, you store it in the house. You keep your money to yourself. He says, if you don't, he says, What good is there? What good? That is, what do you produce? So what good is your saying, keep warm? If you don't give them the necessities of life. Now, I want you to know that he's giving an illustration. What is he trying to say? There has to be action for faith to be effective. Look at the next verse. So it is with faith. So he gave that illustration to explain faith. So it is with faith. If it is alone and includes no action, then it is dead. Now, the reason I'm saying this is we have always taught faith, and we are not able to articulate, how do I know I'm walking in faith? This is what James is really concerned about here. This is James's focus. The only way I would know that you have faith, because we heard Jesus say to those people when he saw their faith. When that man spoke concerning Jesus, he said, you don't have to come to my house. Speak the word only, because in that instance, it was the word that was needed to activate, to show that he had faith. Jesus said, I've never found such faith. No, not in Israel. Look at it. So it is, if it is alone and includes no actions, then it is dead. Verse 18. But someone will say, now, I want you to see what James is doing. James is really, he wants to zero in on this thing. He wants to go deep into this. The fact that if your faith does not produce action, if I can't see, if that person can't see, that is, I can tell you are not in faith. I can tell. I can come to you and say, look, Wilfred, you've not been acting in faith. Wake up. Based on what I see. You can say that. If you see somebody talking negative all the time, you can say, shush! You are not acting in faith. Because your actions either show that you are acting in faith or you are not acting in faith. And if your actions don't back up the word of God, the faith of the word that you have received, then it is dead. When something is dead, it means it does not produce any results. Hallelujah. Look at that. But someone will say, one person has faith. So some people say, well, some people have faith, another has actions. So you will come and say, oh, you know, my own specialty is acting. I'm an action person. Yours is to have faith. Everything they say in the church, you believe it. Every word, you believe it. Look at what he says. My answer is, show me how anyone can have faith without actions. Show me. This is important. When you see somebody who says, well, I'm not offended at anybody, but every time you are walking about me, you are always frowning. They crack a joke, you can't smile. You see people, you can't say hello. You are so consumed in yourself. You walk past people, you push them. And you know when you're talking, you say, no, I have nothing against anybody. Your faith is not backed up with action. There has to be an action. How can you say you have faith when there's no action? It means you are lying from your teeth. So he says here, my answer is, show me how anyone can have faith without action. I will show you my faith by my actions. Can you see that? It is my actions that show that I have faith. It is the way I talk, the way I reason, the way I think, the way I behave. It shows it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I don't speak panic. I don't speak negativity. Anything that does not line up with the word of God, the faith that I have received, I will not say it. So I know that we haven't gotten to that stage yet, but you must not be at the stage where you are cold and someone corrects you and say, you say, oh, I'm like that. That's the way I am. I always speak negative. You cannot be like that. You are not supposed to remain as you were. You have to take in the word of God and act what God's word says.
Praise God. I say, praise God.
When the Bible says all things are possible with God, do you believe it? Do you say it?
Now, verse 19, quickly. Do you believe that there is only one God? He said, good. You know what he's saying? Big deal.
He said, but I believe, you know, I believe there's God and all that, and I do this.
He says, the demons also believe. I love James. You know, he's trying to, he's really using the word of God to wake people up.
He said, the demons believe. You know what? The demons, they, everything that they need to know about God, don't forget the demons, they were with God in heaven. So they know God is powerful and all of that, but they will never act what they know about God. You see, the demons will never act. They know it's not good to fight, but they will never stop fighting.
I'm coughing this cheek. Yeah.
So what he's saying is that, what's the difference between you and the demons? That's why sometimes when people behave, Christians, people say there's a demon in them. So we're going to cast out the... No, there's no demon. It's just that they are behaving like demons. So that's why all this deliverance ministry, we are going to cast out... No, there's no... It's just that they also believe there's God. That's why they're in church. But the demons believe. That's what the Bible says. So, in fact, the other translation says... Look at it. It says, and they tremble. That is, knowing that God is awesome, they tremble. You don't even tremble. So they have done a step further than you. The demons, they've gone a step further. They tremble with fear because they know that if God appears, they are finished. But you don't know it. You see, God's power to you is not a big deal. That's why God can say, I've said this, it must happen, and you don't believe it. Because you don't tremble at his word. So it's a big deal. You believe in God. Look at it. It said they tremble with fear. Verse 20. You what? I didn't say it. You know, what James is trying to do is trying to get out this point, that faith is important, but it has to come out with actions. You know, we read that in Thessalonians. It says, every good thing that your faith produces. You see, corresponding action. Action that corresponds to what I believe. Not just that I believe it. I've got to have actions. Amen. He said, do you want to be shown that faith without actions is useless? Look at the other word he used. Do you want... You know James, they used to say he was a hard man. He was the leader of the church. So this point is so important to him. So he says, do you really... He has already explained it enough, isn't it? But the man wants to go further. Next verse. 21. How was our ancestor Abraham put right with God? It was through his what? When he offered what? Now, so Abraham had faith in God. He believed God. But he needed to show actions. So you come to church and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Father, all that I have is yours. Everything I own, Lord,
belongs to you.
Everything. What is this life? What is car? What is this? What is this? What is it? Everything, Lord. The first thing, they say give 10%. You can't give it. Your actions don't back up what you believe. Because you said, everything, I will serve you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my being, with all my... You know that we don't talk about, you know, encouraging people to, you know, just trying to... One of the things that we should never do is to try to obligate people to do things. You can teach people things, but never obligate them. Sometimes it makes it look as if that thing is not something we believe in. Well, we believe in tithing, we believe in giving, we believe in all of those things. But there are other things that have to do with giving. One of the ways that people actually are blessed in church is when the Spirit of God drops it in your heart, and it will show you a person that is in need. God will show you a person who is in need. Some people want the gift to be able to do some powerful miracles. I tell you, the most powerful miracle is to notify, to identify somebody who is in need. That's a powerful miracle. You see, that when you are able to see people in need, that they are going through a challenge, that they don't have food on the table, that their children don't have clothes, you are able to sense it, and then you take out of the one you have. You go and buy a nice dress, buy a nice shopping, and take it to their house. That's faith with what? With action. Action corresponding. And that way, you'll be amazed that there will be no family that will go to bed in this church without food. But even if the Spirit of God is saying to you, you see that, bro, you look around and say, even me, I haven't got enough to eat. You are not activating your, that is, you don't believe what you are saying is this. Not that you don't want to give. You don't believe that God will reward you. That is, once I give it, I will lose it. That's what you are saying. That God is not faithful enough. You know, he says, give, and it will be what? Given to you. So look at what is happening here. It says, how was your ancestor, he said, put right? It was through his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. What made him offer his son? He was the demonstration of his faith. He already had faith, but he needed to demonstrate. It was the giving of his son was not when he had faith. He already had faith. He was demonstrating it. You've got to demonstrate it. That's when things happen in your life. You demonstrate it through your words, through your actions, through the things you do. Look at what it says. It was through his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. This is, I know you know this account, but this is amazing. What do you think he knew about God when he offered Isaac? He knew that God is not a killer. God is able to raise the dead. Because you know what he said? When Isaac asked him, he said, Father, we have all the things for the sacrifice, but where is the ram, the goat, or whatever? He said, he told the boy, he said, he told his servant, he said, I and the boy, we will go and we will return. So that's speech of faith. You are going to sacrifice your son, and you are telling people, we are going and we will return. That's faith. If it's some of you say, you know, it's a very serious day today. I'm going to sacrifice my son. He's going to die. He's going to die. Oh, Lord, I need my God. I want this. My precious son. That's what you would do. And then the servants will be saying, sorry, master. Sorry, sorry. You know, that's the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you say, oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No, your speech of faith. I and the lad will go, and we shall return. And then he told the boy, when he asked him, he said, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. He didn't tell him, well, you know, God told me that I'm begging you, please allow me to do it. Can you see words? Can you see words? Because, and this is what James is saying. He said it was not just that God said Abraham has faith. He proved it with his actions. And that's what we have to do. We've got to see the way you speak, the way you act, the way you do, your behavior, your mannerism. He says, verse 22. Can't you see his faith and his actions did what? Worked together. His faith and his actions worked together. His faith was made perfect through what? His actions. Hallelujah. Go to the next verse quickly. Let's do it quick.
And the scripture came through that said, Abraham believed God, and because of his faith, God accepted him as righteous, and so Abraham was called God's friend. Next verse, verse 24. You see then that it is by our actions that we are put right with God and not by faith alone. You have to get what he's trying to say. He's not saying that, you know, you earn God's respect more, but when you are in a relationship with God, there has to be that dance. You've got to show that you believe. So even if I'm meeting and putting myself to task every day, that I will put myself to task that I will not say a negative word. Now, you can't start it to, you know, you can't perfect it today, but you've got to start. You know, when people come to Living Word and they say, we want to know if these people is a word church, the way they should know is when you go out and speak, they should know it. Not that you come to Living Word and you've been here for 10 years and you go somewhere and everybody's speaking negative and then you join them. In fact, you overpower them. You overpower them. You say, oh, that's you see nothing. You see nothing. Last year, when the enemy came, he finished me. He finished, I'm telling you, I have somebody, I'm telling you, he's a man of God. This is somebody, he's been in the Lord for at least 40 years. I'm always, you know, before I call him, because as soon as we start, I say, oh, man of God, it's been a terrible year. Man of God. Every year, since I've known him, every year. And you see, what he's saying is working for him. I'm telling you. He always has a catalog of calamities. Because he's having what he's saying. You see, there are certain things that you're not able to share with people. Especially when they think they know. And that's why it's easier for you to come under, sit down and hear for yourself and go and do it. Because many things people may not be able to tell you personally.
That's true.
They think, how will I say it? Mm-hmm. That's why it's important that when you come to church and it is said, you take it because nobody knows. So you quickly change before they know. Amen. Glory to God. Look at that. It says, your actions that we are put right with God and not by our faith alone. Verse 25. It was the same, say the same, with the prostitute Rahab. She was put right with God through what? Her actions. You see, by welcoming the Israelites. So she heard about God. She knew that this God that these people are serving is a great God, but she needed actions. And those actions, they were, you see, it wasn't an easy thing for her. The king was looking for these people. So she knew that if she was found out, she would die. But she was able to defy her own king, knowing that these people are serving a greater king. But that faith needed to be put to the test. Believing it is nothing. If you're not able to do the action, then that faith is dead. So look at what it says. By welcoming the Israelite spies and helping them to escape by a different road. Now, she showed her faith with her actions. She told the spies, just like Abraham said, we will go and we will come back. She told the spies. He said, when God has given you this land. You think about it. This is a woman who has never met God, who has never gone to the temple, never done anything. She just heard about God. She believed, even her life was not right, but she had faith in God and she proved it through her actions. So she said, when you have taken the land, myself and my household, even her family members who had rejected her, if it's you, there are certain people you won't take from your family. All those my uncles who have been nasty, I will show them now. No, she took every person in her family. That's faith. No unforgiveness in her heart. No strife in her heart against anybody in her family. and helping them to escape by different ways. Verse 26, now we close. So then, everybody say, so then. So all of these that we've been reading. So then, as the body without the spirit is dead. Now this is a powerful statement. If your body does not have the spirit, it is dead. He said, just the same way, also faith without actions is dead. So church, what I'm saying to you now is that we're not just talking about faith, believing God. We're talking about activating our faith, demonstrating our faith through the way we speak, the way we act. And if you're not seeing things happening and things look delayed, brothers and sisters, watch your actions. The moment you begin to make your actions line up with the Word of God, you will see things will be sped up. I'm guaranteeing you. I'm telling you. Because that's why James was giving all these examples. I can give many examples in the Bible. Things will be sped up the moment you begin to act. The moment you begin to speak. The moment you begin to behave. Your mannerism. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Man, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Thank you because we believe in you. But not only do we believe in you, we are people who will activate that faith and begin to show it through our actions. Not to prove anything to man, but to dance that dance of faith with you through the way we act, the way we speak, the way we behave, and the way we think. Thank you, Father, because we will begin to see great and mighty results in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name.